this morning, if you want to share the reading of Scripture with me that the Lord has placed on my heart for this service, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with the 20th verse. So Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse number 20. I am going to be reading, most of you know I normally read from the King James. This morning I am going to be reading from the God's Word translation. And if you are not familiar with the God's Word translation, it's not a paraphrase. It is a word-by-word translation from the Greek and the Arabic, and it is a fabulous translation in modern English. So it's available on your iPhone or your Android app. You might want to check it out. I lean on it many times. I enjoy this particular translation. I cut my teeth on the King James, and I still preach from the King James, and I still study the King James, but I'm not one of those kind of folks that, you know, it's King James or nothing else. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 20, the Bible says, "Wisdom sings her song in the streets. In the public square, she raises her voice. At the corners of the noisy streets, she calls out." Now listen to that. This is wisdom that's calling out to the passerby. She sings her song in the street. She raises her voice. At the corner of the busy streets, she calls out. At the entrance to the city, she speaks her words. "How long will you gullible people love being so gullible? How long will you mockers find joy in mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Turn to me when I warn you, and I will generously pour out my spirit for you. I will make known my words unto you." Now listen to verse 24. She says, "I have called, and you refused to listen. I stretched out my hand to you, and you paid no attention. You ignored all my advice. You didn't want me to warn you." And she says, "Therefore, I will laugh at your calamity, and I will make fun of you when panic strikes. When panic strikes you like a violent storm, when calamity strikes you like a windstorm, when trouble and anguish come, then they will call upon me at that time." I mean, we know that's true. I mean, we have a way of just kind of cruising through life going, "Hey, I'm going to do my own thing." And then when calamity strikes, we're like, "Oh, Jesus! Need some help now." She said, "They will call at me at that time, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me." Why? "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear or the reverence of the Lord. They chose not to do what thus saith the Lord. They refused my advice. They despised my every warning. They will eat the fruit of their lifestyle. They will be stuffed with their own schemes. Gullible people kill themselves because of their turning away. Fools destroy themselves because of their indifference. But whoever," listen to this last verse, "but whoever listens to me," this is wisdom speaking, she says, "whoever listens to me will live without worry and we'll be free from the dread of disaster. Sounds like a plan to me. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, all right? Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that we have the opportunity to gather here in this place in your name. We are thankful this morning for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt as we have worshiped and as we have sang and as we have praised. Thank you for being with us. We come to the reading of your word and the ministry of your word. And I readily confess of my own self, I am inadequate. I can do nothing here this morning, Lord. I pray that you will give me a divine capability, that you will anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you will enable me, that you will empower me to speak as your instrument here today for hungry hearts and those that will listen on the internet. I pray that Christ Jesus will be lifted up, that he will be glorified and the people of God will be edified. I pray that you inspire my thoughts, that you would put your word in my mouth, and that you would let what comes forth from these lips of clay come forth with anointing and with power. Bless me now to be a blessing. And for all of these things, Lord, we will forever give you the praise and give you the thanks. And we ask them in the mighty and wonderful and honorable and high and exalted lifted name of Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Five Fools to Watch Out For. Five Fools to watch out for. This past Friday, of course, was April Fool's, and maybe some of you here this morning were the victim of an April Fool's joke. I read one person's calamity. She said someone smeared chocolate on the toilet lid. I read another one on the internet and said Hillary has been arrested. And I thought to myself, well, she should be, but I don't know if it's true or not. I don't mean to be political or anything this morning, but maybe you were the brunt of a prank. Or maybe, and I'm looking at Christy back there, or maybe you were the prankster. Hello? Maybe you were the one that, you know, was pulling off the prank for some poor unsuspecting soul. And either way, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, April Fool's is about being fooled, or about being deceived. About being deceived. And whether we realize it or not, the Bible has a great deal to say about being deceived or about being fooled. And again this morning, whether we realize it or not, we can be fooled, and sometimes we can be foolish in many ways. If I took a poll this morning and asked how many of you have ever acted foolishly, next week will be all about lying spirits. Because I didn't get very many hands on that. But if we're all honest with ourselves, we have all played the part of a fool at one time or another. We have all done something foolish. We have all acted foolish in different ways, different times, no doubt. But the passage of scripture that we have read this morning is from the writing of one of the wisest men that ever walked on the face of the earth, King Solomon. King Solomon metaphorically describes the wisdom as a voice, a woman's voice, calling all of us to walk in the path of wisdom. Now, I venture to say, when we did whatever we did that was foolish, we heard a little voice in our heart going, hey, don't do that. Hello? Did we not hear the voice of wisdom calling to us and say, you need to turn from that direction and head another direction? Solomon metaphorically describes the voice of a woman calling for us to walk in the path of wisdom. He says in verse 20, wisdom sings her song in the streets. In the public square, she raises her voice. At the corners of the noisy streets, she calls out. And at the entrance of the city, she speaks her words. Let me just tell you something this morning. Wisdom is not some virtue that we are some intangible, exclusive substance that is hard to find. Wisdom is calling us. Wisdom is crying out to us. Our problem is we just need to learn to hear. Some people think that wisdom is, you know, some buried deep treasure. Wisdom is there, but we have to spiritually discern it. We have to understand when wisdom crawls or when wisdom cries. He said, wisdom lifts her voice in the public square. Wisdom lifts her voice at the noisy corners, and she makes her words known. He is saying that wisdom is continually calling out to us, and wisdom is continually desiring to make itself known to us so that we might walk with insight and perception, and so that we might walk in a prudent way with understanding that actions have consequences. Amen. Wisdom is not some elusive thing that we cannot attain to. Wisdom is here for everybody to hear, but we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to our hearts. We have to be open. The writer goes on to say that there are many that refuse to hear. I don't want to be one of those individuals. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't want to hear the voice of wisdom and reject it. I don't want to hear the voice of wisdom and turn away. What kind of folly is that? Well, we often do it. And sometimes we often do it without even realizing that we have done it. The writer goes on to say, how long will you gullible people, that's the King James says foolish, how long will you foolish people love being so gullible? How long will you mockers find joy in your mocking? How long will you fools hate and refuse knowledge? Turn to me when I warn you. I will generously pour out my spirit. I will generously, amen. The Bible said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and the Lord will give it liberally. Hello? If any man lacks wisdom, how many of you ever went to a situation and you said, I'm not sure exactly what I need to do here? Amen. Well, pray about it. Ask the Lord about it. He'll give you direction. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll instruct you. He said, I'll give you wisdom liberally and upright if not. Amen. That means he won't mock you for asking for wisdom. Wisdom says, I've called to you and you refuse to hear. I stretched out my hand and you, how many of you, if you went to the bank of a river and someone was drowning and you stretched out your hand and said, grab my hand, I got you. And they refused to grab your hand. Whose fault is it if they drown? Whose fault is it if they go under? Wisdom says, I've stretched my hand out to you and you paid no attention. You've ignored my advice. You've ignored what I have said. You did not want me to warn you. Now, understand this morning that the kind of fool that the Bible is talking about is not just an April Fool's. The kind of fool that the Bible is talking about is not only a fool in April, but a fool in May. And not just a fool in May, but a fool in June. And a fool in July. Go all the way around the calendar. It's not talking about an April Fool's kind of prank. It's talking about, and I think it's also important that we understand that, amen, when the Bible talks about a fool, it's not referring to someone's intellect. It is not referring to someone's IQ. The Bible, in biblical terminology, a fool in the biblical language is a description of an individual that lacks discernment, that lacks the spiritual discernment. It's referring to someone that lacks a spiritual understanding. It's referring to an attitude or a mindset, because a fool thinks he is always right about everything. How many of you have found that to be true? Amen. It's referring to an attitude that says, I know better than you do. An attitude that says, God may say one thing, but I choose to do my own thing. Hello? Amen. It's talking about a fool who is morally deficient and incomplete and inclined to do their own thing, because their own thing is what pleases them. Proverbs, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, that the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, in other words, to reverence God, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fool despises wisdom and instruction. I don't want to hear your counsel. I don't want to hear your advice. It may be godly counsel, but I don't want to hear it. Why? Because I'm hell-bent to do my own thing. Doesn't matter who says what. I think I know best. Hello? Don't anybody elbow your partner right now. Just look straight ahead while I'm preaching this part. Let me share with you this morning 6 characteristics of an individual that the Bible describes as a fool. 6 characteristics of someone who is a fool. Number 1, a fool is someone who has no moral absolutes. Now, let me just share with you something this morning. Amen. We live in a world where absolutes have been broken down. Hello? I mean, people want to do whatever they want to do. And in many eyes, there are no moral absolutes. Well, I got news for you this morning. There is right and there is wrong. There is blessing and there is cursing. There is heaven and there is hell. And God said it's up to us to choose. You choose which side you are on. Well, I come to tell you this morning, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But a fool says there are no absolutes and there are no moral absolutes, and I can live any way that I want to. Number 2, a fool is someone who has a total disregard for authority. Wow. We live in a world where authority is trying, or people are trying to just push authority away. The Bible says that we are to submit one to another. The Bible said that we are to submit unto the Lord. We are to submit our life unto the Lord. And people that are a fool do not like to submit to anything or anyone. I have always said, you will never walk in authority until you learn how to submit to authority.
You will never walk in authority until you learn to submit to authority. The Bible says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The only way the enemy is going to flee from us, amen, and we can put him in his place, is if we get in our place. But if we get in our place and submit to God, brother, we can put the devil on the run. But a fool has no regard for authority. Number three, a fool is someone who has a disregard for the counsel and the advice of others. I could go into a lot of scripture and give you substantial scripture to substantiate every one of these little points that I'm giving you that describes the character of a fool. But a fool is someone who disregards counsel. How many of you know the Bible said that in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom? In the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. In other words, we need to, amen, we need to come together in unity and in love and submit one to another. And maybe you've been thinking about something one way and someone give you a godly counsel that may change your thinking. Amen. Well, allow the Lord to do that in your life, because none of us have it all figured out. Hello? None of us have it all figured out. Number four, a fool is someone who is arrogant, a know-it-all. Number five, a fool is someone who is filled with pride. Number six, a fool is someone who lacks self-control. And again, I could go on this morning and give you substantial scriptures to substantiate each one of those six characters, but I want to move on to my main message this morning, and that is what the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart about five fools for us to specifically watch out for. Five fools to watch out for. Number one, the atheistic fool. The atheistic fool is the person who has determined that there is no God. Now, I know some of you here this morning, you just can't even imagine somebody thinking that. But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of folk out there today that believe just that. That something went bang and everything just kind of come together over 1,000 years and millions of years. I had a guy tell me, you know, he's an evolutionist guy, and he said, I can't have faith. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I just believe that, you know, it all evolved. And I said, well, sir, you have more faith than I do. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you really believe that some microorganism popped somewhere in vacant space and it just simply created the world and the order that we see in the world, it just somehow out of that chaos came order, then you got more faith than I do, because I do not believe that order comes from chaos unless somebody with an intelligent mindset and the power to make something change steps in and makes it happen. He said, can you give me an example? I said, take a Rolex watch. Take it apart, put it all over my desk. Scatter it from here to there. And you and I will sit here for 1,000,000 years and watch it. And let's just see if it comes together. But if I called some guy on the phone that knew how to put a watch together, and I ask him to come over here and say, you know where all these pieces go. Put this thing together for me so I can have a nice timepiece. Oh, it takes something from outside in order to bring order out of chaos. Scientific fact, if the earth was tilted 3 degrees one way on its axis, we would all fry. Scientific fact, if it were 3 degrees the other way, we would all freeze. Somebody, it didn't just happen. Somebody said, let there be, and there was. I said, you got more faith than I do to just believe that it happened. Hello? Amen. But let me just tell you, the Bible says in Proverbs or in Psalms chapter 14 and verse number 1 that a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. Psalms 53 and 1, a fool, again, it says a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Psalms 110 chapter 10 verse 3, amen, in the God's Word translation, it says the wicked or the fool or the person that boasts about his selfish desires, he blesses thieves and he curses the Lord. He turns his nose up and says that God doesn't care, and his every thought concludes that there is no God. Amen. I want to tell you this morning that there are those that are atheistic and believe and have determined that there is no God. And therefore, they live absolutely unaccountable to anyone except themselves. And I just submit to you this morning as well that there are two kinds of atheists. There is the empirical atheist. This is the person that does not believe that in God because they cannot sense him. They cannot put him in a scientific lab. They cannot prove his existence in a scientific lab. They cannot see, touch, feel, smell, or see him. And so therefore, because they cannot perceive him in their natural senses, they do not believe that he exists. But there is another kind of atheist that I want you to be aware of, and that is the philosophical atheist, the kind of person that while they believe in God, they choose not to live, or they choose to live as if he does not exist. The philosophical atheist. How many of you know there are a lot of people that believe in God this morning scattered all over our community, but they choose to believe as if, they choose to live as if he does not exist. They ignore his word. They ignore his precepts. They ignore his commandments, and they walk in their own path. Let me just tell you this morning that both fools will one day, amen, the imperialistic atheist and the philosophical atheist, they will all one day stand in the presence of God. And I came to tell you this morning, watch out for the fool who tries to tell you that there is no God. Watch out for the fool who lives as if there is no God, because one day they will wake up to find that they are standing face to face with God. The second fool that I want to talk to you about this morning is the materialistic fool. The second kind of fool is the materialistic fool. There is no better example of the materialistic fool than the parable that Jesus spoke to his disciples in the book of Luke chapter 12. And I invite you to turn over there this morning. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And I'm going to be reading from the King James in this verse. So Luke chapter 12, verse 16, this is what the scripture said. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And the rich man, and he thought within himself, the rich man thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow my... Anybody see a problem here? Hello?
I will bestow my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, kick back, take it easy. You got enough stored up for a long time to come. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I see a really big problem. He trusted in his own wealth to sustain him. These verses clearly present a picture of a materialistic man who feels completely self-sufficient and has no need for God. You do not need to read very far into the parable to suddenly realize that he expected to control both his fate and his crops. In fact, six times he says, I, and five times he says, my. Including my soul. And you know what God said to him? You fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you. And then who shall those things be that you have laid up in store? In other words, you fool, you trusted in the material riches of life in order to sustain you. And I hold your very breath in the palm of my hand. Watch out for the materialistic fool. Matthew chapter 19, and you can turn there if you like, but I'm just going to briefly allude to the parable. The Bible says that there came an individual to Jesus and said, good master, what one thing shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, and don't bear false witness, and do not steal, and do not murder. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the man said, I have done all of those things my whole life. And Jesus said, you're right. Notice in chapter 19 of Matthew, Jesus didn't tell him, let me take issue with that because I think you haven't done everything. No, Jesus said, no, you lack one thing. You lack one thing. What one thing? He said, you are a materialistic fool. Now, that's just loose white translation. That's just telling the story in my own words. Jesus said to this man, he said, you lack one thing. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible said that the man turned around and walked away filled with sorrow because he had much possessions and he couldn't give it up. Now, let me just tell you this morning, God does not care if you have material blessings. God just doesn't want material blessings to have you. God does not mind you having material blessings. Somebody said, well, you have to be poor to be humble. I can tell you right now, you don't have to be poor to be humble. Hello? And God doesn't mind one bit. He said, I would above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But don't get the cart before the horse. Don't allow material things to own you. You own the material thing. Why were both of these individuals a fool? Because they allowed material things to come between them and their relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Don't play a material fool. You're not going to take it with you when you go. Be rich toward God. You'll never carry it behind you when you go. Everything that we accumulate and everything that we acquire, one day we're not going to give a rip about it. We are just going to check out of this life, and it's going to be fodder for someone else. So, what do? Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth doth corrupt and rust can't canker it and it won't rust and it won't perish.
Be rich toward God, because it doesn't matter how much you have in your bank account. When you check out of this life, the only thing that's going to matter is what you have done for the kingdom of God. And I have always said, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. If you want to be blessed, be a dispenser to others so that God can bless you to give.
I could go on and preach right there for a little while. Let me get on to the third fool. This is the worldly fool. The worldly fool. We have the atheistic fool. We have the materialistic fool. We have the worldly fool. This person is more concerned with the pleasures of this life than they are with picking up their cross and following after Jesus. This person is more concerned about earthly things than they are about spiritual things. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, he said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Amen. He said, but it is of the world, and the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God shall abide forever. Don't fall in love with this world, because this world is not our home. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. In other words, whoever hangs on to their old fleshly, selfly desires is going to lose their life. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake, he said, he'll find it. And Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Don't play the worldly fool. Don't think that you can live next to the worldly, amen, and not have the worldly rub off on you. Does that make sense? I'm going to tell you, be careful with the crowd that you run with. I always told my boys when they were growing up, if you're going to run with dogs, you're going to end up with fleas. Hello? That's it. So don't run around with those kind of folks. What does the Bible say about that? Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And in verse 2 he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what is that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of God. In other words, don't be conformed to the world. Don't follow the world's example, but be light, be salt, and stand up for that which is right in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Same writer. He said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he goes on to say, because I'm living in you, and I'm walking in you, and I'm abiding in you, he said, wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my son and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Watch out for the worldly fool. What does it mean? It means don't allow the world to dictate or mold you into their ungodly ways. Be light, be salt. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. But then he went on to say, you're the light of the world, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And he said, therefore, let your light shine so that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I will tell you this morning that what is politically correct is not always right. And what is right is not always politically correct. And you have a choice. Don't be a worldly fool. Don't saddle. Help me, Lord. Don't saddle up with the wrong crowd. Don't saddle up with the wrong crowd. Number four. And this fool may catch you by surprise. But this is the self-righteous fool. The self-righteous fool. We have the atheistic fool, the materialistic fool. We have the self-righteous fool. Who is the self-righteous fool? A lot of them go to church every Sunday. A lot of them go to church every Sunday. The self-righteous fool is part of the group that are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Hello? The self-righteous group are the group that think they got it all together better than anybody else. And therefore they look down their nose at everybody that don't do it their way. I may get an amen out of some of you on this part. The self-righteous group are the group that can't help somebody get the splinter out of their eye because they got a beam in their own eye. The self-righteous group thinks that they're the only ones going to go to heaven. And if we don't do it their way, we're not going. They're going to be surprised. Hello? They're going to be surprised. The self-righteous fool, watch out for the self-righteous fool because they are all along the road of life. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to get there in just a moment. Let me share a parable with you from Luke chapter 18. While you're turning to Matthew 23, I'm going to share a parable with you from Luke 18. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he spake a parable unto certain folks that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now get that. He's speaking to a group of people that think within themselves that they are righteous. And this is what he says. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican or a sinner. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. And he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of these people. I thank you that I'm not like this sinner over here or this publican. I'm not like other men who are extortioners and unjust and adulterers. I fast twice a week and I give tithe. And he begins to list all of the good things that he's done. And the publican or the sinner, Jesus said, wouldn't even so much as lift up his eyes and just smote his chest and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus said to these certain folks that trusted within themselves that they were righteous, he said, who do you think went away that day justified? Who do you think went away that day justified? What I'm saying this morning is the self-righteous play a fool because they are trusting in their works. They are trusting in their own good deeds. They are trusting in their own righteousness. And I got news for you this morning. The scripture said that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not a one of us, amen, deserve to be standing in his presence. It is only by the shed blood of the Savior of the cross that any of us are saved. Hallelujah. So watch out for the self-righteous fool along life's road. Don't let him get you sidetracked. Don't let them get you sidetracked. If they look down your nose at you, you just keep on smiling, keep on loving, keep on walking with Jesus. I got news for you this morning. You don't have to do it their way. You don't have to do it my way. You have to do it his way. Hello? Amen. And I don't want to be guilty of taking the Holy Spirit's job. You see, it's not my job to convict you. It's not my job to, you know, convict you and look down upon you and try to manipulate you to get you to do what I think is right. That's witchcraft. Hello? No, what my job is to just preach the truth in love and let the chips fall where they may. And let God deal with your heart. And when God deals with your heart, you might find some of the things that you've been doing or some of the things that you've been holding on to, you don't want them anymore. You're like, you know, I used to do that, but I wised up. Hello? I wised up. The fifth fool, and I'm going to close with this fool. The clock's ticking on the wall. Help me, Jesus. The fifth fool that I want to talk about is the religion fool or the religious fool. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? Shouldn't we be religious? Let me make a distinction. There are folks that are religious and do religious things. Like Jesus said, he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart, whoa, it's far from me. They do all kinds of religious things, but their heart is far from me. Let me just tell you, religion will leave you cold, looking for answers. Relationship with Jesus will set your soul on fire. Hello? Relationship with Jesus will set your soul on fire. And religion has done more to bury the message of the cross and the gospel of Christ. It's done as much to discredit the good news as the Pharisees did the law of Moses. Let me say that again. Religion has done as much to damage the message of Christ as the Pharisees did to damage the law of Moses. Well, what do you mean? Let me, hopefully I can explain this to you. I ask you to turn a moment ago to Matthew 23. Look at verse number 1. Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, and this is what he said. The scribes and the Pharisees, how many of you know that the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious group of the day? They were the religious elites of the day. Well, you would think that Jesus would just flower them with compliments. Not so. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses, or they have the authority of Moses. And all, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe,
In other words, what they're saying is the right thing. He said, observe, but don't do what they do. Don't do what they do. Do not ye after their works. Why? Because they say and do not. In other words, they don't practice what they preach. If you ain't gonna walk it, don't talk it. Hello? He said, don't do what they do, because they say one thing and they do something else. How many of you know religion is just like that? Religion will tell you all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit of God will help you walk in the right path. He goes on to say, he said in verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens, grievous burdens to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders. In other words, they put rule, after regulation, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to wear your hair this, you can't wear jewelry, you can't wear red, you can't watch TV, all kinds of stuff. You ain't shouting as good as I'm preaching. He said, they lay all kinds of burdens on you. And they won't even lift their little finger. They won't even move one with their little finger. He goes on in verse 5 and he says, but all of their works are done to be seen of men. I gotta look the part. You know, like a politician. As long as I look the part, it's okay. I can live any way I want to. No, you're nothing more than a religious fool. He said, they do all of their works to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. What in the world is a phylactery? Okay, let me explain to you real quick. Deuteronomy 6:6 said that they were to write the word of God and keep it before their eyes. So this was their interpretation of that. They would take a scroll and write verses on it, and then they would hang it between their eyes on a little headband so that they could keep the word before their eyes. That was their interpretation of keep the law before your eyes. So, if you wanted people to really think you were spiritual, you can't have a little bitty phylactery. You gotta have a great big one. Right? He said they make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. What does that mean? The priests wore garments that had a particular border on it. And the bigger the better. The bigger the more spiritual. I want everybody to look at me and go, oh my, isn't he spiritual? That was their attitude. He said they loved the uppermost rooms of feasts. They loved to sit in the chief seats in the synagogue. They can't take a back seat. They got to find someplace right up front with all of the dignitaries. Amen. He said they love greetings in the marketplace. Rabbi, Rabbi. Hello? Oh, I want everybody to hear him call me Rabbi. I want the applause. I want the approval. I want the praise of men. That's religion. That is religion. That's religion. Jesus says in verse 24, go on down to verse number 24. He said, you blind guides, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. In other words, you look good on the outside, but the inside is corrupt. Amen. He said, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse that which is first, that which is within the cup and the platter, and then the outside clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like white sepulchers. You are like a white tomb. You look white on the outside, and you are full of dead men's bones. The religious fool is focused on the outward appearance. The religious fool is focused on the traditions and the man-made doctrines of men, making it hard for individuals to have a relationship with God. If you don't think it's happening today, I promise you, you can find somebody that will beat you up one side of the head and down the other side of your head with the Bible. The religious fool is focused on money and prestige and the applause of men. The religious fool is worrying about the color of the choir robes and whether we're singing an old hymn or whether we're singing a new chorus. The religious fool is concerned whether it's Southern gospel or whether it's contemporary. You hear what I'm talking about? They'll fuss and they'll fight about anything if it don't fit in their wheelhouse. Well, I came to tell you this morning that don't be caught up by the religious fool. Religion will leave you cold and looking for something else. But Jesus Christ, he'll satisfy the longing of your heart. He'll give you something to sing about. He'll give you joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And he'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you life and that more abundant. I gotta quit. I'm not sure. I used to say, how many of you will give me 5 minutes? Let me see your hand. You give me just 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. We're not all afternoon now. No, I gotta quit. So listen, five fools that we need to watch out for. The atheistic fool, the material. Now, none of us, you know, here this morning, we go, oh, I don't fit into that category. I believe in God. Well, don't forget about the philosophical fool. You can believe in God and not do what God says, and you're a fool. I mean, if you, you know, believe in God and then don't do what he says, and you just live your own thing, you're still a fool. That's good. We have visitors this morning, and I'm telling you that you're a fool. That's rich. That's really good. We have the materialistic fool. Maybe you're here this morning, and you just have got caught up in, you know, in the old adage that, you know, get all you can all you get, and just don't give nothing. That's not biblical. Everything that God gives, gives. Everything that God creates, gives. God intends for us to be a giver. God intends for us to freely give because we have freely received. God intends for us to be a channel through which he can flow. You know why I've used this, you know, illustration in the past. You know why the Dead Sea is dead? It has no outlet. Everything just flows into it, but it don't go anywhere. That's what we become if we close up our giving and just cease to give and get all centered on our thing. You know, no, it's about what we give and bless the kingdom of God. And the more you give, the more he'll give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over with men, give unto your bosom. The more you give, he said, God's not deceived. Amen. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something this morning. I'm not just preaching that. I live it. You can ask our secretary. I'd live it.
Because I believe it from the bottom of my heart. Don't be the worldly fool. Don't be the self-righteous fool. I learned one thing a long time ago, that we are all on different spiritual levels.
I was invited to preach in a beautiful Free Will Baptist church over in Nampa one time. And I got up and I knew the brother very well, and he was a wonderful man of God. And I got up and preached, and I preached about like I preached this morning. I mean, I just, we had church. And after the service was over, I was standing in the back shaking hands with folks. And this one little lady come by and she said, "Wow, what an awesome service." And she kind of looked around. She goes, "I even had a hand lifting experience this morning." And that's what I did. I kind of laughed. And the Lord said, "Shame on you."
Why?
He said, "That was a big deal to her. You're just walking in another freedom that she hasn't found yet. Everybody's on different levels, son. Everybody does things differently." I'm like, "God, you're right. I'm sorry." Wow. What an eye opener. So I learned a long time ago, you know, I mean, if you look at somebody and go, "Well, I wouldn't do that." Well, shut up and leave them alone. Let God tell them not to do that. If they're walking in error, tell them in love. Show them the scripture. And then love them. Just love them. You don't have to do anything else. You just love them. Preach the truth to them and let the Lord work it out. They're not our servant. They're His. And I will tell you right now, He called us to be fishers of men, not cleaners of fish. So don't be a self-righteous fool. Don't be a religious fool. Don't be so salty that you make people want to throw away the bowl of soup. He said we're the salt of the earth, but how many of you ever got the salt shaker and it went crazy and you tried to eat the food and you're like, "Bleh." That's how some people are. I gotta quit. Help me, Jesus, Lord God. No, I've come across, you know, Christian people that they were so salty that they didn't make you thirsty. They just made you ill. And I know you have too, right? So don't be that person. Maybe you're here this morning and go ahead and bow your heads. We'll quit. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel in your spirit or in your heart, you know, I find myself that maybe I've kind of walked into some of these characteristics. The good news is you don't have to stay that way. The good news is that you can change. It's not too late. You can reevaluate your actions. The good news is that you don't have to be an April fool, a May fool, and a June fool, and a July fool. You can change it right here and right now. So allow the Lord to penetrate your spirit and speak to your heart. Say, "Lord, if there's any way in my life that I've become a fool, if I have avoided the voice of wisdom, if I have turned away from the call of wisdom, help me to return." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, take the message that we have spoken this morning. I pray that you would take it to the hearts of these who are here in this place, that you will cause them, O God, to see in their spirit if they have done foolishly and acted foolishly, or if they are walking in the way of one of these five fools. Help us this morning, Lord, to correct that problem and walk in wisdom's call. I ask it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here this morning and you would slip up your hand and say, "You know, Pastor Gary, you preached the message to talk to me today.
God sees your hand. Yes, 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 yes. You preached the message because the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart today. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Stand to your feet all over the building, please. Amen. Let's make it right. We've had hands lifted all over the building this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. Just make it right before the Lord. Talk to the Lord right now. He is your Father. Say, God, I didn't realize this morning that I've been playing the part of a fool. I've become materialistic, and I've become judgmental, and I've become a fool. Even without me even realizing that I've played that part, have mercy upon my soul. Have mercy upon my heart. Cleanse me and change me and fill me with your presence. Thank you, Lord, this morning for bringing it to my attention. Thank you for making it known to my heart so that I might have opportunity to change.